So if you would like to go to we're going to talk about the centurion servant in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 and 13. And then we're going to go to Luke chapter 7, verse 1 to 10. We're going to read those scriptures and talk about healing this morning and look at it. This is healing is a controversial subject, or what we call divine healing is a controversial subject within the Christian church itself. There are many denominations don't believe in healing. They believe in medicine more than anything else. They believe that God can heal if he wants to, and that it's not part of the covenant necessarily as we understand it. So let's go to Matthew chapter 8. If you got that, verses 5 to 13, let's go ahead and read that. They might find that on the screens there. Matthew chapter 8, let's go to verse 8. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. This is a centurion. Of course, he's a leading man there who, I guess, over 100 people that under his area watch. Beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lied at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. So his servant that was working for him in his home, you understand that in that day, if you had a servant, it become part of your family. And they're like your family, and you get close to someone. And apparently, according to this man, it was a nice man. And he had the servant, and the servant was very sick. Not only sick, but very, very much in pain. Very, very painful situation in his illness. And the Bible tells us that Jesus died for our pains as well. Not just physical pain, but emotional pain as well. And so it says that, and Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only. Notice this. The centurion said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He didn't say possibility can be healed. That man said he shall be healed. Just speak the word over this situation, and my servant shall be healed. And so he said here, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another man, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto him that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I want to give you some background here for you to understand. First of all, Israel had the Old Testament. They had the prophets. They had the readings. They read that in their meetings. They read the Holy Scriptures. And so Jesus was expecting great faith in Israel, and he found nothing, didn't find any faith. Sometimes people have a whole lot of religion, but no faith. People are messing around, and they're just not having faith, but they're just having religious activity. And so this particular person here that Jesus mentioned, he said he had great faith. Not just faith, great faith. There's a difference between having faith and having great faith. And we're going to understand why this happens here. And so remember, the man said, don't bother coming to my house, but just go ahead and speak. How many people, I have to understand this, like when I'm preaching the message on television and I speak a word of faith over someone on the other end is getting healed or getting restored or something's going on because they receive the word of God. Not as from a word of man, but from a word from God. And the scriptures reveal that as well. He said, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Where we expect faith sometimes, we don't see it. We need to find great faith among people. That is, people who believe the word of God. People who believe the message that the scriptures reveal to us. Let's go to Luke chapter 7. We'll say some more things on that. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. And when he had ended all his sayings in the audience and of the people, he entered into Capernaum. There was a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him. Now, Luke was also a physician, a doctor. And he reveals this guy was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. He gives another little angle. And you know, understand that in the New Testament, there are indications, or at least revelations, of the 12 individual healings out of the four Gospels. They itemize for us these cases of healings, or healing cases. So out of the four Gospels, there's these 12 cases of healing. And when you study it case by case and you begin to do different statistical information, you'll find out some important things for our use today. And so this guy was dear and was ready to die. Matthew didn't say he was ready to die there, but Luke says he was ready to die. Luke was a physician. Now, this guy was extremely ill, or the servant was extremely ill, and he was precious to the man, the centurion. He was not only ill, but he was tormented. He was very physically, very much in pain. And he says, you're ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, everybody needs to hear about Jesus. You need to hear about what Jesus can do. Not what we can do, not what our church can do, but what Jesus can do, what the man we preach about. So he says, heard about Jesus, and beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this, for he loved our nation, and he had built this synagogue. Now this guy also apparently was a good financier. Or he built that synagogue. In other words, he built a church. I don't know if we could say it that way. And he gave money, and he was able to produce this church. And I was thinking about that, you know, as I was saying that, because yesterday we just signed some papers to purchase a building. And we will be celebrating with Geraldton soon, the purchase we made in Geraldton. So we started that church there a number of years ago. Now we bought a building because they can't house the crowd. they're growing, a growing congregation there. And so we'll read some more here. So where were we? And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this. He loved our nation and had built a synagogue. Then Jesus went with him. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou should enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say to this one, go, and he goeth; to another, come, and he cometh; to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, how many people know that Jesus hears your words? He's your high priest. The Bible said Jesus is your very high priest. Over in Hebrews 3, it says he's your high priest of your confession, of your testimony. In other words, whatever you say, he's going to make happen. Jeremiah 1:12 says that he watches over his word to perform it. And the word in your mouth is like God, like Jesus saying something. You know, you need to get the word of God in your mouth as well as your heart. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled. I like that, you know, when camp meeting, and we go to camp meeting and went to Bible, and Mark Hankins always talk about, you know, something when Jesus marveled, right? Oh, he gets so taken by the fact that he just, ooh, you know. I mean, Jesus was marveling at that man's faith. He said, ooh, look at that guy, you know. And people marveled at Jesus too. When Jesus preached, they marveled about Jesus. Ooh, you know. And he was thinking about that. When the people marveled at Jesus preaching, they didn't say, oh, look at Jesus. Look at his wristwatch. You know, I wonder where he got those sandals from. You know, look at that robe. He says, I wonder where you get that at. You know, so he didn't do stuff like that. You know, but he marveled like Jesus. We want Jesus to marvel at our faith. He gets, you know, woo, like when you start to believe God, that's what Jesus gets that way. He wants to get excited. He gets excited about your faith. So, where we do this, do that. Anyway, he said, let's go back here and look at this again. He marveled at him. He turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, he said, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And when they were sent, returning to his house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Now, we have said in the past, as we've taught here in this church, the majority of cases of healing in the life and ministry of Jesus, and in the 12 cases of healing, we see that out of the 19 cases of healing that we mentioned, the 12 of them were faith was mentioned out of the 12. So 19 cases, 12 of them, it says that faith directly is mentioned. And the rest of them infer some kind of faith. So the 12 cases, he said something like this, your faith made you well. What do you believe about it? Go home, your servant is sick. And look at this, you know, it mentions faith in there somewhere along the line. And if you read carefully and you study the 12 cases, you understand that he will say, somewhere you'll see that there was an action of faith. The word faith itself wasn't mentioned, but you see the action of faith. But only we see basically one case where we see a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, and so when we talk about the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, we're talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 11, where it talks about nine ways God manifests himself. And then you talk about the power gifts. There's three power gifts, the gift of faith, you know, working of miracles, and healing. We see the power gifts in manifestation. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11, in the 11th verse, Paul says that it as only as the Spirit wills, he will heal. The Holy Spirit heals as he will. I want you to go over here for a second because we'll kind of divert a little bit to another situation here. Let's go to over in John chapter 5. Let's go to John chapter 5. Or excuse me. Yeah, John chapter 5. I want to divert a little bit here from the centurion and go to another healing in John 5. I want to encourage you this morning to believe God. And I know some of you who've been challenged by sickness over a long period of time, and to never quit. And God's moving all the time. He's moving right now in our midst. So go to John chapter 5, St. John 5. This is one area where you see what we see, a sovereign move of God and a manifestation of the Spirit of God. They're two distinct things, but I want to show you something here so that when you read these things, if you're just a casual reader, you're not going to pick up these things. I've been studying this for over 30 some odd years, and I made this my profession. And so I studied it over the years. I've seen people. I've been at bedsides many times with people. They're waiting for somebody to come and heal them. Just a few months ago, a lady called, someone called on behalf of someone else, send me to the emergency or the, what do you call this, room where there are really sick people, ICU. So I went there. And I was very hesitant to go because you can't go because someone sent you. Like, don't ask me to go somewhere unless you ask the family or the person himself. Because it's important that that person's faith is involved in getting me to come and pray for them. Because oftentimes, people say, we don't want you here. Are you here? So because you can't just go I wouldn't want you to come to my family's bedside when they're sick. I'd rather for you to stay home. Because, you know, I'm just saying anybody. Why would you want to come to someone's bedside? You've never come to my bedside before. You know, you didn't come to my house, never asked me out, never. All of a sudden you want to come there. But I understand culture does certain things to people, and it doesn't help the sick person. Like in our culture, sometimes when somebody died, the whole reserve comes in, help the people mourn, and maybe eat a supper or something and go home. But we want a little bit more than having some fellowship. We want the person to get well. Okay, all right. Because sometimes people, they come there and they cry over, like, if your mom's sick, you're not helping your mother if you're sitting over there crying on her breast. Wailing and crying. And a lot of times, Jesus throw the people out. They're crying around the bed, say, hey, you need to get out. We want strictly people of faith in here. And if you allow people to do that, you're going to kill them. You will destroy their faith. They don't need you to be crying on them while they're sick. They need you to be in faith and trust in God. Like, you might not get this kind of teaching somewhere else, but I'm telling you this is important. Okay, so John chapter 5, you find it? You guys look like you're sleeping back there. Okay. John chapter 5. Okay. Keep your eyes. Look here, mister. Okay. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. You know, we read about these places in the Old Testament about Bethesda. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. So there's a whole pile of people around the pool, and there's some traditions involved and some religious ideas. They were sitting around this pool, and these guys were invalids. They cannot move for themselves. They can't do anything for themselves. There was a whole pile of them there. Every day they were laid there, waiting for the moving of the water. Everybody say this, waiting for the moving of the water. So that's significant because they're waiting. Water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So they're waiting for some kind of manifestation to happen because they might get healed. Okay, so verse 4. Look at this. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. So the angel went there. God sent an angel into that pool, and I don't know what he did, ruffled the water a little bit, you know. And somebody said, I mean, if you're there, you can't move, you can't jump in. I mean, and just about you jump in, somebody already is in there. Right? I mean, that'd be, oh, man, you got to wait again. We don't know when this is going to come by again. This angel is going to come by again, eh? You know, it happens that way. This is, can you imagine that? Being that sick, you're there. So, now let's read about verse 5. A certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. Now, this guy is sick for a long time. 38 years is a long time to be sick with something. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been in that case a long time, said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? You see, you have to understand here that Jesus is operating under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, Acts 10:38 said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus is anointed by the Holy Spirit. Suddenly he's quickened by the Spirit of God, zeroed in on this man, and he knew right away, this guy has been this way for a long time. The Holy Spirit spoke to him by the gifts of the Spirit. That happened to me different times. There's, for instance, one guy here I prayed for him. I said to him, you had this, and he said, well, how'd you know that? I said, I didn't know. Holy Spirit told me. And so the impotent man answered and said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool while I'm coming. Another man stepped down before him. So he's there. He's not going to get any kind of healing because who's going to throw him in the water? He's got nobody. He can't move. He says, while I'm trying to step in, somebody else comes in before me. He's out of luck again. He's been there for a long time. So when Jesus said unto him, rise, take up your bed and walk. Now, you have to understand, Jesus is speaking under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He is anointed with the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit is moving. He had the word of knowledge about this man. He had a word of wisdom. He's telling the man, he had a word of wisdom. He says, go step in the pool. This is a word of wisdom. So he knew exactly what's going to happen next. So you wouldn't just tell somebody to step in the pool if you didn't have a word of knowledge. He jumps in the pool, nothing happens to him. He's drowning maybe. But this Jesus had the word of knowledge. You know, word of knowledge is information and knowledge of wisdom, knowing what's going to happen next. Word of wisdom always knows what's going to happen next. It's always about future. So he told him to do, and of course, you see, not only word of wisdom, you know the revelation gifts was operating. And word of knowledge is operating. He knew about the man's case, about what happened all his life. That's the word of wisdom about the past. He knew about what's going to happen next, the word of wisdom. And then they had what they call the gift of faith and working of miracles, happening all at the same time in this Bible. If you didn't know any better, you'd read this and you would miss all this because you didn't study it. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. It was the same day as the Sabbath day. Now, they weren't supposed to heal, apparently, on the Sabbath day, but Jesus broke that law. And, apparently broke the law, but he said that healing is more important, ministering to healing a guy that's sick is more important than your religious law. Yeah. Amen? So the Jews said unto him that was cured on the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry that bed. He answered and said to him, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up that bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that that said unto thee, take up that bed and walk? And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away in a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus, finding him in the temple, said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Now, there's another good sermon there to talk about that. We can see that, you know, if you don't live right, you can get sick, you get afflicted. So what about this situation? We see here that this impotent man was healed because of the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. It had nothing to do with faith or his faith, per se. Had to have some kind of faith to actually believe Jesus. That's the kind of faith he needed. But he didn't have faith like, I'm going to go here. I believe in Jesus. I believe he can heal. But here was strictly a manifestation of the gift of the Spirit. What I mean by that, Jesus was not teaching on healing. Jesus didn't give him scriptures. He didn't tell him about anything about the Old Testament. He just came by and saw him there. And he knew what was going to happen. He mentioned to the man, do this, do that, and he was healed. So a lot of people in our culture, in our Christian church or churches, this is the way they want to be healed. They believe this is the way it should come. You come to church and there's a special meeting going on. Maybe that prophet or a man of God there will know something about you, call you out of the audience, and it's spectacular, and say, you're healed. That does happen, but not always. And so when you begin to study these cases, you know that this doesn't happen very often, even in the life ministry of Jesus. So, as you mentioned, there are seven methods to receive healing, and the scriptures tells us about the seven ways you can receive healing. All of these methods will come under either one or two categories, these seven methods. They come in under, number one, the anointing, or what we call the gifts of the Spirit, or we call a manifestation of the Spirit. The second way, the second category is teaching or the preaching of the Word of God, that someone can get healed. When people are taught the Word of God, they're given the opportunity to have faith, to build their faith up, to trust and believe God's Word. But it's interesting, lots of people just want the gifts of the Spirit to heal them. I went to the hospital a couple months ago, and someone was very deathly ill. I hesitated to go, but I went on behalf of a friend. They said, okay, this lady wants someone to come. And I phoned that. I talked to the lady, said, are you sure? Yeah, okay, I'm sure. I went to the hospital and asked to see a certain one, and they said, well, no, they're busy working with her. Can you come back? So I came back. I took my time a number of times to come and see this person. So finally I was able to get to see this person, and then we had a conversation. You know, Jesus always talked to someone whoever needed healing or needed ministry, he always talked to them and located their faith. See, you don't just pray for someone automatically just because you want to pray for them, because you want to alleviate them from their pain. You must ask questions and know where their faith is at. Because when you talk to them, what they say to you will reveal where their faith is at. So she said to me, I'm waiting for so-and-so to come here and heal me. So right then I knew that this lady has faith in a person, a man, or a person to heal her. Not God's word, not just anybody, but they want God's word. This person was expecting God. You're mixing me up here, lady. Put your phone away. So it's important for us to understand this, is that what people say locates their faith. What you say locates your faith. For instance, the lady with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, she said, I'm going to go and touch Jesus' garment and I shall be well. That's her faith talking. So she got there. It's not because Jesus was anointed. Yes, he was anointed, but it wasn't just that. It was coupled with the anointing of God, of the man of God, and the woman's faith to be healed. What she said. Notice in the fifth chapter, Mark, Jesus told a woman, your faith did it. He didn't say, hey, listen, lady, you're lucky the anointing of God was strong on me that day. Oh, you're lucky. No, he didn't say anything. He didn't say, I'm such a gifted man. Look how great I am. I'm so anointed. That's why you got healed. No, Jesus gave credit to the woman. He said, your faith did it. Now, that's a case of healing in the scripture where the woman's faith was made her well. Because in verse 28 of that chapter, she said, if I can just touch Jesus' garment, I will be whole. And she kept, the Amplified Bible says, she kept saying that to herself over and over and over again. What was happening? She was schooling herself into faith. See, what you say about yourself, what you say about your life, schools yourself into some kind of faith. So never repeat negative things to yourself, because you're going to get stuck in that situation. You must say what the Bible says about you, even if it's not true in your life yet. Even while you're sick, you must say, thank God, it's working in me right now. Thank God I'm healed. According to the Word of God, I'm healed. They will tell you, no, you're not. Look at, you got all those pills. Look at how much pain you got. I said, no, but according to the Word of God. He said, you're lying about it. No, I said, according to the Word of God, the Bible says, Matthew 8:16 says, and he healed them all. Verse 17 says, that it might be fulfilled what's spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. My faith is in that, not according to what the doctor told me. Thank God for doctors and thank God for the medicines I'm taking, but I'm trusting God's word. You don't encourage anybody to throw away their medicines. Let the doctors do that. I remember somebody who had eye problems, and in fact, there was, who was that just recently? That he was wearing glasses and really bad eyesight. Like, I can function when I can read. I read better without my glasses. And I can drive my car without my glasses. This is that some things are fuzzy. I don't have eye disease. So this guy apparently couldn't see blind as a bat. And one morning put his glasses on and he can't see. Imagine wearing glasses for all your life and you start wearing glasses, put your glasses on. One morning you can't see. Went to the doctor. The doctor says, you don't need these glasses. Got healed from God's healing power. So two areas, there's two areas of healing. Number one is through the manifestation of gifts of the Spirit. Or number two is teaching the Word of God so that people have faith to heal, get healed. So we have to do more of this part. Teaching people. Jesus spent one third of his ministry teaching. The other third, preaching. And the last third is healing. That's exactly the way he went. Not healing first, but teaching first and healing. He said that everywhere he went, Luke 4:18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to heal." He was reading from the prophet Isaiah 61. He took that book and he said, "This book is written about me." Now he's reading this in his own hometown. He goes to his hometown, he tells people, "I'm anointed to heal." And all his relatives, all his friends and people knew him there. Who's this little boy? Who's this young man? Who does he think he is? Saying, "I'm anointed. This is about me." So anyway, that's what happened to him. Because after that press conference, they wanted to kill him. You know? So it's amazing, eh? But, so this impotent man's case, he was healed through what we call special manifestations. Number two, Jesus never taught him the Bible or the scriptures, but just knew by the Holy Spirit, was prompted by the Holy Spirit to speak to this man. Prior to this, Jesus' arrival, prior to Jesus' arrival on that scene where there was people lying there, there was something happening before that. Remember, we read the first two verses that God sent an angel there to trouble the water. There was what we call a sovereign move of God, or a move of God. It had nothing to do with man preaching, but what God was doing by himself. You know, there's people who get healed that way, or something happens to them where Jesus appears to them, or something happens, and there was no man there except, this God shows up. That happened to me when the Lord showed up in my room. All of a sudden, the visitation of the Holy Spirit came in, and I knew certain things that happened, and no one was preaching to me. That's how I am in ministry today. Otherwise, it would have been just like everybody else, in some kind of profession, full-time doing something, but God brought me into the ministry. If I didn't have any one of those number of experiences in my life with the Lord leading me into ministry, my wife and I would not be in this church today. We'd be doing work like everybody else out there, working some field. But because that call came, and it was such a moving call, that it shook us to the point that we went into ministry, took a risk, and went into the ministry. We didn't have anybody pay for us. People just say, "Well, we're going to pay you this much money." And no, it was God's calling. You'd be crazy to do something like that if you didn't get called, right? Especially if people didn't want you around. And at that time, people didn't want me around. People told me in the city from other churches, "We don't want you guys around here. You're a word of faith. You guys are a cult. And you don't want to feel led from your brothers and sisters. You have to either be crazy or God legitimately called you? And I said, we believe the latter, that God called us into the ministry. So now, there was a sovereign move of God. Okay, the sovereign move of God before Jesus arrived with the gift of the Spirit. There was already healings going on before Jesus came there. A sovereign move of God. God was just doing that. Why did God manifest himself like that with that angel? Why are there special moves of God? Well, it's to get people's attention on God so that people will be encouraged to start believing. See, when you see someone get healed, when something happens to them, you get encouraged to say, I want to believe that too. If he got off drugs just by hearing this and doing this, I want to do that too. If his mom got healed from cancer, from a cloth, I want to do that too. I was in a Benny Hinn meeting in 1991. Before that, I was in a Bill Frankers meeting, and I was sitting there, and I'm seeing this healings going on all over me, and I said, I want to do that. With such strong, compelling in my spirit, I can do that. I want to do that. And so it encouraged me that way. You know, so I was at this meeting, and a woman said to Benny Hinn, she came up to the platform. She said, I was at home, I'm watching television, and I'm seeing all these healings going on. And she said, if I could just go there and just hear him through the door, I'll be healed. So she was out there in the auditorium, outside. She couldn't get in because the crowds were so big in that meeting. So she just listened. She said, I put my ear in that auditorium building. I could hear you preaching. And suddenly, he said, the power of God came upon me and I got healed. So what was that? That's faith. I remember Ed Wesley's brother-in-law. He phoned me up one time. His little girl was dying in a hospital. The doctor said, no way this girl's going to live. And I was tired that day. I was working really hard the weekend. Had a number of things. I was much more busy than I am sometimes. And I went home. I just sat down to eat. My wife had made some lunch. We were in Fort William. And the phone rang. And here comes Peter, which is Ed's Maxine's brother. He says, it wasn't actually Peter. First was a head nurse in the ICU. He said, do we have a family here? This little kid is about to die, so come and, you know, pray for this kid, give last rites, whatever it is. And I said, well, I'd like to talk to the person. So he got on. He says, I said, so why do you want me to come? Like, what is it about you want me to do this? And he said this scripture. He quoted the scripture to me. He says that, well, he said, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When he said that, the Spirit of God spoke to me instantly. I just sensed the anointing, a strong anointing come upon me. He said, go there and pray for this little girl. So I went into this ICU, and the baby was so small, premature baby, and the Lord said to tell the people, tell that family, tell them that I'm going to raise this child up, and you tell them about me. So I said, okay. So, I mean, you know, you get intimidated by all the medical people, all the medical stuff going on. I'm there. I'm just a young minister. And I just feel so intimidated. Everybody's professional. I'm just this preacher, you know. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to feel. But I thank God for the scripture. And I knew about scripture. I knew about what to do. I knew what people said. What they say is their faith talking. So I took my finger and I put it in that incubator. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to live and not die. I command you to be healed. And I left that place later. I talked a little bit, but they said, well, this child will probably not make it to London. He'll probably die there and so on, or die on the way, because this is just totally just incredible. So anyway, we got the news that this baby lived. Now she's, I don't know, how old is she today? 30 years old? 25? I was just starting in the ministry. But thank God that the Faith works. I said, faith works. I mean, there was no anointing. I didn't have any kind of special move of God. I didn't have any. In fact, some healings happened where there's no, you didn't feel anything. Just the word of God. Remember the centurion said, speak the word only. Speak the word only. Centurion said, speak the word only. My servant shall be healed. It was his faith speaking. So if you're going to question healing, there'll be no healing. If you question healing all the time, there'll be no healing at all. I see people putting their jackets on, getting ready to leave. So I'm going to shut down right now. Everybody stand up, please. Stand up. Praise God. It's cold in here. Let's going to pray. Hallelujah. Faith will make you well. Amen? Faith will make you well. Thank God for his healing anointing, his power. I want to pray. Can you bring those cloths up here? You know, these are called healing cloths. There's a lady I asked to watch tonight, today. The doctor said there's no chance for this person and given up on this person to never be well. And I want to pray for that person today, right now. They're watching online. I believe that power of God will get into that room, wherever that person is, and heal that person. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just trying to find the right one here. Glory to God. Yeah, this person here has really been sick in her body and affecting all her body, all her, even her mind, her brain. The body is swollen. Doctors can't do nothing for that person. And this woman wants God to heal her. I said, I'm going to pray with you guys so that she'll be healed. So we will pray for this woman that needs this healing. She's got fluids all over her body. Is very weak. And we're going to pray for her. All these pains. She has cramps everywhere. There's a lady here that has cancer. Liver and lung, colon cancer. Praying for someone, addictions. I'm going to pray for this person with addictions. Someone to come back to the Lord. And also someone for deliverance. To find Jesus. And help to find, there's a number of people that need to find Jesus to come back to the Lord. A number of them that need to get back to the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Where's some of my pastors here? Come on over here, guys. Bring your wife with you. Praise God. Come on, honey. Praise God. I want you to come here and lay hands on these cloths with me. Come on, lay your hands on this cloth. Move this down. And if you have illness in your body too, I want you to believe. I want you to believe God for healing. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for these individuals and that one watching by television, live stream. We rebuke sickness and disease. We say that healing belongs to us. We call on the power of the highest to overshadow these people, to drive out the sickness in their body, to drive out demons as influencing people. So we bind the devils, they bind the sickness and disease to leave at once. To remove themselves from these situations right now. And so by faith in God's word, according to your holy word, we release anointing into these cloths as they're laid upon them. Healing will be manifested in their body. Drive out these sicknesses or devils, whatever it is, in Jesus' name. And that one watching by television, just stretch your hand towards that television right now, guys. Stretch your hand towards that television. Camera, in the name of Jesus, Father, by faith in the word of God, I command you to be well. You that's laying in bed right now, I command you to be well. I command those that are sick right now, be well in Jesus' mighty name. With the healing virtue of Jesus, may the power of God penetrate your very being, of your physical, not only your body, but your soul. I command you in the name of Jesus to be healed from top to bottom. Thank you, Father, for that anointing that we sense here to come into that person's body. Drive out that sickness. You will live and not die. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Anybody else that has illness in their body, we're going to pray for you right now. In Jesus' name, if you have sickness in your body, if you had emotional difficulties, I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, I pray for everyone in this room right now, in this auditorium, that has sickness in their physical body. Those that have emotional pain, you come to heal the brokenhearted, you said, Jesus. Take away pain and sickness. We rebuke this sickness, rebuke disease, that you will be healed right now. According to the Word of God, we speak healing and health in your body, regardless if you feel anything or not. Faith in the name of Jesus and His Word. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Well, we can talk about healing again. Those of you, remember tonight, you come to Bible school. Those of you that want to come and hear the Word of God, hallelujah. I pray that you be encouraged. Amen. Bless you. We'll see you next time.